Okay, so we're up to Perek Yud Aleph in Sefer Shoftim. So at the very end of Perek Yud, we talked about the fact that the nation of Ammon was acting up against the Jews. Pasuk Yud Zayin at the end of Perek Yud, Vayitzaku b'nei Ammon, Vayachanu b'gilad, and b'nei Ammon, they had their battle screams, and they all got together in the land of Gilad. Vayosu b'nei Yisrael, Vayachanu b'mitzpah, and you have b'nei Yisrael gathering across from them in mitzpah. And Perek Yud ends, Vayomru ha'am, Sarei Gilad, Isharei Ehu. So the people of Gilad say to each other, Mi ha'ish asher yachel yilachim b'nei Ammon. Who's going to be the one to fight for us, to lead us in battle against b'nei Ammon? Whoever that's going to be is going to be in charge. He's going to take control of all of Gilad, all of the people who live in Gilad. But who's that going to be? You know, it ends almost like with a question mark. We're not sure who this is going to be. This next leader. So Perek Yud Aleph begins with the selection, so to speak, of this next leader. The Yiftach HaGiladi. So there was a gentleman. In Gilad, a person by the name of Yiftach, Hayagibor Chayil, he was a very strong, courageous soldier. And who was this person, Yiftach? And he's going to be the next shofet. Vehu ben Isha Zona. He was the son of a Zona. What's a Zona? So literally, usually a Zona means a harlot. Right now, we'll see in a minute that in this context is not really what it means. Vayoled Gilad es Yiftach. And Gilad had Yiftach. Yiftach was a son of Gilad. Yiftach was a son of Gilad, and he had him from this woman. Now, so the Radak says here that it wasn't really a Zona. Who was this woman? So the Radak says that really she was a Pilegesh. What's a Pilegesh? A concubine, right? So a concubine is someone that the person has a relationship with, but it's not in the context of marriage, right? There's no kiddushin, there's no ksuba. It's not in the regular context of marriage, but it is a consistent relationship as opposed to a zona, which is like a once upon a time type of thing. So that's different. So why does it call her a zona? Because she's not married, right? She's not married to him. So since she's not married to him, it refers to her as a zona, even though it's not exactly a zona. Why does it say Pilegesh? Yeah. Good question. So I think Zona has a more negative connotation than Pilegesh does, right? Especially in Tanakh. You know, Zona has a more negative connotation. And I think here we're about to see that because of his status, because of the fact that his mother was different than the other kids, so that's why we're about to see that they're going to exile him, they're going to kick him out. So I think it uses the term Zona as like a derogatory term. That she had similar characteristics of a Zona, even though she wasn't actually a Zona.
So where does he learn out? If you learn something and it's push up shot looking you in the face.
Right.
So I know you want to make it sound a little bit better, but you have to have right. some proof to it that says
right.
it really wasn't the Zona.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm not sure.
Because Pelegish is pejorative also in some ways.
You know? Right. It wasn't,
if she wasn't
right.
a Zona, you don't call it a Zona.
Doesn't
right.
say, it doesn't say which tribe she's from either. We see he's from Gilad.
Oh.
She's a Zona, we don't see where she's from either.
Okay, so that's interesting. So yeah. So there's two other pshatim here. So the Targum Yonasan here on the Pasuk, he translates it as Pundakis. Now Pundakis, a Pundak is an inn. So this is like the translation that she's like an innkeeper, right? So you might remember that Rachav, right? For when we learned Yehoshua back in fourth grade. So what did our teacher tell us Rachav was? An innkeeper. She was an innkeeper, right? Now really she wasn't an innkeeper, right? But it's translated as an innkeeper, and Targum Yonasan translates it the same way as Pundakis. The reason why Pundakis, an innkeeper. Right, meaning a real innkeeper, you know, every day there's different people coming to the inn, right? So that's the same idea as like a Zona, that she doesn't have a consistent relationship with one man. She just, she's hefker to whomever, Right? That's the same idea as an innkeeper, but not that she was actually an innkeeper. There's another pshat that says that zona here doesn't literally mean zona, but it means she was from another shevet. Okay? And another shevet, so it used to be that the women were obligated to marry within their shevet. Why? Because otherwise the inheritance and the land would get all messed up. Because every shevet had its land. If a woman inherited land, which sometimes happened, we saw Benos Tzlavchad, right? If a woman inherited land, and then she married outside of the shevet, so now that land would then get transferred outside of the shevet. And that's something that they wanted to avoid. They didn't want land getting transferred outside the shevet. So they forced all the women to marry inside the shevet. If a woman would fall in love and marry someone from a different shevet, so she was looked at, you know, askance. You know, she was kind of shunned by people, and she wasn't given the normal things that she was given. And it says perhaps that's why she was called a zona, and that's also why it doesn't tell us who she was or where she was from. Maybe she was from another shevet, and she was kind of shunned and looked at askance because she was marrying, so to speak, out of the shevet, and that's why, you know, that's why she was treated differently. Yiftach
marry
the woman.
The zona.
Yeah, but for the man it doesn't really matter because he's maintaining his land, right? It's a bigger deal for women because if the women had land that they owned and then they married outside the shevet, then that land would transfer ownership. Okay, now the pasuk, you know, is very repetitive because it says in the beginning Yiftach Hagiladi Hayagibur, he was the Ben Isha Zona, and then it says Vayolad Gilad as Yiftach. Why does it repeat? Why does it say Vayolad Gilad as Yiftach? So here it's also to tell us that he was definitely Gilad's son, right? That we know. Meaning the mother. Okay, so she was the Isha Zona, whatever she was. She was either a Pundakis or she was Pilegesh, whatever she was. But the father, that's clear, right? The father was definitely Gilad. That's 100% clear. Pasuk Beis. Taylor Ashes Gilad lo banim. So Gilad's wife had children with him. Vayigdilu v'nei ha'isha. These children grew up. Vayigarshu es Yiftach. And they exiled, they threw Yiftach out of the house. They threw him out. Vayomru lo, and they said to him, lo sinchal leveis avinu ki ben isha acheres ata. He said, you're not going to inherit it with us. You're not going to inherit it with us. Why? Because you're from a different woman, right? Yiftach, Gilad had one wife, and from that wife he had many children, and this was from a different woman. This was from a Pilekesh, whatever the case was from a different woman, and the kids, when they grew up, they treated him differently, right? And they kicked him out, because he was from a different person. He was from a different woman. Many of the Mefarshim here point out, the Radak and the Rabag, all point out that this was totally wrong. They shouldn't have done this. Why? Because what's their taina to him? Ki lo yirash. Right? That lo sinchal beveis avinu ki ben isha acheres ata. Right? You're not going to inherit with us. But that's not true, they point out. Because if he was the son of a Pilegesh, which according to many Mefarshim, he was the son of a Pilegesh does get Yerusha. Just like the son of a regular wife. Why? Because Yerusha goes by the Av. Yerusha goes after the father. So he's a legitimate son of the father. He might be from a different woman. He might be from a Pilegesh where there's no Ksuba v'Kiddushin. But at the end of the day, he's from the father and therefore he's entitled to Yerusha. So their claim, Ki lo sinchal beveis avinu, is not really a legitimate claim. Here also the Metzudas David points out that they refer to the woman as Ben Isha Acheres. Pasuk Aleph, we called her a Zona. Now they're not calling her a Zona, they're calling her a Ben Isha Acheres. Why they do that? So he says out of cover to their father. Right, that even though she maybe was a Pilegesh or a Pundakis, whatever she was, but out of cover to the father, they just said, different woman. Right, Ben Isha Acher, she was from a different woman. And the
Who's the Vayomru?
I'm sorry?
Who's the Vayomru? They said.
The sons, the other sons.
The brothers. Okay.
The brothers, yeah, his half-brothers. Right. Yeah. The Malbim also points out that even if, you know, you want to say maybe he's not entitled to Yerusha, he really is entitled to Yerusha. But even if not, you don't have to throw him out. Right, so they were wrong on two counts here. Number one, they were wrong because he was entitled to Yerusha. And number two, they were wrong even if he's not entitled to Yerusha. You don't have to throw him out of the house. You don't have to kick the guy out. Excuse me, Pasuk Gimel. Vayivrach Yiftach mipnei Echav. Yiftach fled from his brothers. Vayishev be'eretz tov. He settled in this land called Tov. We'll see about that in a minute. Vayislach Duel Yiftach Anoshim Reikim Vayetzu Imo. So what happens? Yiftach runs. Why was Yiftach running? The Malbim points out, if he's running, that means he's afraid for his life. So not only were they claiming that he doesn't get a Yerusha, not only were they throwing him out of the house, but they were trying to kill him. He's running away, fleeing for his life. Had he stayed, they would have killed him. Okay, the Malbim says here also, you see, other people didn't even intervene. Nobody stopped this. Right? The brothers are throwing Yiftach out, and they're trying to kill him. The elders of the city, nobody, you know, people see what's going on. No, nobody's stopping this. Nobody's putting their foot down. So they also did something wrong. The standby, right? The people who were standing by and watching, so they're also doing something wrong. Now Yiftach runs away to this Eretz Tov. Here there's a question in the Mefarshim, what does Eretz Tov mean? So some say it means that the land was good. Targum Yonasan sounds like it was a good land. It was just a nice, a good place that he ran to. Others say no, it was a land, the owner's name was Tov. Right? Eretz Tov was the land that was owned by this fellow named Tov. What happened when he got there? So these empty people, right? They kind of joined up with him. They joined forces. They see this guy Yiftach. Keep in mind, Yiftach was a Gibor Chayil. He was a strong guy. He was a courageous guy. So now these thugs, you know, no goodniks, up to no good. So they kind of attached themselves to him. Vayetzimo, and they went out with him. And the Rabbah says, you know, probably they went out and they would, you know, fight with people. You know, and they would always win, this group. Yiftach was a strong guy, and he had these goons with him, and they would, you know, whoever they would fight with, they would win. So he started developing this reputation as a very strong warrior. Right? A courageous, a strong warrior, which is going to be important. Okay. Pasuk Dalet, Vayihi miyomim, it was many years, Vayilachamu b'nei Amon im Yisrael. So Rashi says in the Mefarshim today, we're going back to the end of Perek Yud. This is not something new. This we alluded to already at the end of Perek Yud, that Amon was fighting against Bnei Yisrael, and this went on for many years, right? And this was many years even after Yiftach was driven out by his brothers. Pasuk Hey, Vayihi Kasher Nilchamu Bnei Amon im Yisrael. So again, the people of Amon are fighting with Bnei Yisrael. Vayelchu Zikne Gilad Lakachas Es Yiftach Me'eretz Tov. Now the Zekanim of Gilad realized they need a leader. They need a general. They need someone to lead them into battle against Amon. And the only person that they see fit to do this is Yiftach, because he's a strong warrior. Now Yiftach is now in this place called Eretz Tov. So the elders of Gilad, now they go, and they go to fetch Yiftach, to bring him to be their leader. Now you can imagine that this is not going to go over very well, right? Because they threw him out originally. So, and it seems to be that they needed him. They only went, he developed his reputation, he was a good guy, he was the best man for the job. But they weren't very happy. Pasuk Vav, Vayomru leYiftach, Lecha v'hayisa lanu lekatzin, v'nilchama b'vnei Amon. So they came to Yiftach and they said, Yiftach, we'd like to appoint you as a katzin, and you will come and fight with us against Amon. Now, what's a katzin? So a katzin is like an officer, right? It's an officer. So the Alshich and the Malbim point out here a discrepancy, because here they use the word katzin, and we'll see in a minute that they change. Yiftach is not very happy, and then they change and they talk about appointing him as a rosh. So what's the difference between a katzin and a rosh? So the Alshich says that a rosh is like the king; he's the melech. Katzin is an officer; he's an officer. So when they first approached Yiftach, says the Alshich, they didn't offer him to be like the Rosh. They didn't offer him to be the king. They offered him to be the Katzin. He was going to be the officer. It was a lower position than Rosh. That's all they offered him. And we'll see in a minute, then he's not going to bite. Right? Yiftach's going to say, go jump in a lake. Now the Malbim says in a similar way, Katzin, the Malbim says, is from the Lashon of Kates. Kates is the edge, off to the side. So the Malbim says that we want to appoint you as the Katzin. The Katzin was the person who was Chashuv. He was definitely a Chashuv person in the battle. And therefore he was off to the side. He was by himself. He wasn't with everyone else. But they didn't speak about any type of reward after the battle. Okay? And that's why they said in the plural, what does it say? V'nilachama. It doesn't say you will fight. It says we will fight. Why? Because you're not going to be the Rosh. If you're the Rosh, then we just say the battle is you. You're fighting. Right? Because you're the man. You're in charge. But you're not the Rosh. You're going to be the Katzin. The Katzin is the officer off to the side. And therefore, it's really the battle of all of us. We're all fighting here. It's not just you. So they're giving him, you know, you see what's going on in the dynamic. They're coming, they're giving him some sort of kavod, but it's almost like half-baked. You know, it's not a real offer. It's, you know, they're offering him, a half a position here. They're offering him, they're not really being mechabed him. So Pasuk Zayin, Yiftach sees what's going on. Vayomer Yiftach lezikne Gilad, so Yiftach says to the elders of Gilad, What are you doing? Halo atem seneisem osi. He says, just a little while ago, you hated me. Right? You hated me. And not only did you hate me, but tegarshuni, mi beis avi. You threw me out of my father's house. So you hated me. You threw me out of my father's house. Umadu abosem elai ata kasher tzar lecha. And now, you're stuck. Now you're in a tight spot because Amon is oppressing you and they're fighting against you and you have no one to stick up for you. So now you come begging, right? You hated me. You threw me out of here. You threw me out of my own house. So why are you coming now? Just when things are tough for you, why are you coming now to come and appoint me? You know, obviously you don't really regret what you did, because if you regretted what you did, you wouldn't wait to come when things are bad for you. You would have come, you know, a year later you would have come. And you would have said, you know, we have charata, we regret what we did, we ask you mechila. You would have done that. You didn't do that. You waited until you're up against the wall. You waited until Amon's pushing you and you have no choice. And that's why you came. So you still hate me. You still maintain your perspective and your stance and you threw me out and you're willing to stick by that. But now you're stuck. Now you're stuck. And he's saying, I'm not going to forgive you for this. You know, had you come, you know, really asked for him for mechila, I would have forgiven you. Also, according to the Malbim points out that he says to them, you're not giving me anything here. You're not offering me anything. So if you're coming to me and you're saying, we ask mechila, you're really our brother, we love you, please come back and join us, that's one story. But that's not what's happening. Right? You're maintaining your hatred. You're maintaining the fact that you threw me out. You're just coming to me because you're stuck. So like what? Well, what are you offering me? Why should I come? Pasuk Ches. Vayomru Ziknei Gilad al Yiftach. So Ziknei Gilad say to Yiftach, Lachain ato shavnu eilecha. He says, no. Therefore, now we came back to you. Vehalachta imanu. And you should come with us. V'nilchamta b'vnei Amon. And you should be in charge. You should lead the battle against b'nei Amon. And v'hayisalanu l'rosh l'chol yosh v'gilad. And then you'll be in charge. Then you'll be the king of all of the inhabitants of Gilad. So says the Mitzvah Das Navan, and the Ashik says this also. He says, no, they're saying to him, no. We are full of remorse. If we didn't regret what we did, we wouldn't have come ourselves. We would have sent messengers to come. But what do they say? No, ata shavnu eilecha. We ourselves came to you. Why did we ourselves come? We ourselves came because we feel badly. Because we do want to make up with you. We do have charata. We regret that which we did. We want to show you love. And that's why, says the Malbim here, what does it say? And the Al-Sheikh adds that what they're saying is, listen, this business about the katzin, that you're going to be the officer, which is not the rosh, not the head position, that's only before the battle. But after the battle, you're going to be the Rosh. After the battle, if you're victorious, then you will be the Rosh. So this says the Al-Sheikh, they are offering him something big. Right? In the beginning, maybe just the Katzin. Let's see how the battle goes. But once the battle goes, once you win, once you're victorious, now you'll be the Rosh. Now you'll be the king over all of Gilad.
But didn't he want Yerusha?
I'm sorry?
Didn't he only want the Yerusha? The inheritance or the land or whatever?
I don't know if he only wanted it. I mean, that's...
that.
Right. Well, that's why they threw him out.
That anywhere that he wanted it. Did we give it? No, it said that they didn't want to give it to him.
That's why they threw him out. Yeah.
It didn't say that he wanted it.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Now, so again, that approach of the Metzudas Tavan, and the Al-Sheikh also seems to allude to this, that approach is saying that, you know, that no, we are coming out of love. We are coming out of remorse. So that's one approach here as to their response. The Malbim understands it differently. He says, no. He says, their response is that you're right. We're not coming out of love. We're not coming out of remorse. And you're right, we are stuck. And that's why we're coming to you. But still, you should still come to us because you will be rewarded. Right? Why will you be rewarded? And that's what the Malbim says, Vinil Chamta. Because now he's saying it in the singular. Vinil Chamta, because the battle is going to be called by your name. And once the battle is called by your name and you're victorious, then you'll be the ruler. So there's a difference of approach here in the Mefarshim, how to understand their response, the Ziknei Gilad. Are they saying that, no, of course, we have Charata, we have regret, we're coming out of remorse, and we love you, or no? Are they saying, you're right, we don't love you, we don't regret what we did, we are stuck, but we're telling you that you should do this for your own good, because you're going to become the leader. If you're victorious, you're going to become the leader over all of Gilad. Okay, so Pasuk Tes. Vayomer Yiftach el Ziknei Gilad. So Yiftach says to the Ziknei Gilad, "Imeshivim atem osi lihilachem b'vnei Amon. If you return me to fight against the Bnei Amon, v'nasan Hashem osam lefanai, and Hashem gives them before me. Hashem allows me to be victorious over them. Then anochi eyeh lachem l'rosh. Then I'll be the rosh." And then I will be the Rosh. So says the Metzudas David, what's his argument here? His argument here is that you're still not offering me anything. What are you telling me? If you're victorious in battle, you'll become the king. Of course, if I'm victorious in battle, I'll become the king. That's not an offer. That's not something that you're giving me, that you're offering me. That's normal. That's the natural consequence. If I'm the general and I'm victorious and I defeat the enemy, then of course I'm the king. There is no king right now. So of course I would be the king. So he says, no, I'm only going to come if you're going to make me the Rosh even before the battle. To make me the Rosh after the battle is not a big chop. That's not a big kutz. You're not offering me anything. That's normal. That's natural. That's just the natural consequence. What I want from you is I want to be the Rosh even before the battle. If you'll appoint me as the Rosh right now, then I'll come. That's how the Metzudas David understands what's being said. And the Malbim agrees in the same way. Because the Malbim says, you know, I don't want it to look like I'm just coming for the reward. You know, I come, and then I'm victorious, and now you reward me. It looks funny. You know, why is the guy coming? They don't really love him. They really hate him. They want to drive him out. They're only taking him because he's a strong guy. Right? So he's coming, he's victorious, and now he's going to be rewarded. He says, no, appoint me as the Rosh now. So that way it won't look bad for me. Because I see I'm coming because you're appointing me as the Rosh. Now once I'm here and I'm the Rosh, I'm going to fight for you. The Al-Sheikh says something fascinating here. He says, you see in the Pasuk, what does the Pasuk say? V'nasan Hashem osam lefanai. Says the Al-Sheikh, what was Yiftach worried about? So Yiftach tells them, I'm worried that if Hashem makes me successful, you're going to come to me with the following taina, with the following claim. You're going to say, no deal. You're not going to be the Rosh. Why not? Because our agreement to make you the Rosh, that was only assuming that you would win with your own koach. You would win with your own strength and your own courage. But here you got a miraculous victory with God. You don't deserve to be the Rosh because of that. So says Yiftach, I'm nervous. I'm going to agree to your deal. I'm going to be victorious because Hashem's going to help me. And then you're going to come to me and say, oh, no, deal's off. Hashem helped you. It wasn't you. So he says, no. V'nasan Hashem osam lefanai. Even if Hashem helps me, even if I score a miraculous victory because Hashem helps me win, nevertheless, anochi eyeh lachem l'rosh. That deal I'll take. That's how the Al-Sheikh understands the end of the pasuk where he focuses on Hashem. He says, if you're willing to do that, to admit that no matter how I'm victorious here, whether it's through my own strength, through a miracle from God, whatever the case is, then I'm going to be the Rosh, then I'll take your deal. Vayomru ziknei gilad pasuk yud, vayomru ziknei gilad el yiftach, Hashem hiye shomea ben osenu, im lo chidvarcha kei na'ase. So they say, God will be our witness, that if we don't follow through with what you're saying, God will be the witness, and meaning, and he'll punish us. Meaning they're taking his deal. We'll take your deal. And again, according to the different Mefarshim, exactly what that means, either that right now I'm going to be the Rosh, right? I'm already, appoint me as the king of Gilead right now, and then I'll come fight with you. Or even if I'm victorious because of Hashem, and not because of my own strength, nevertheless, you'll make me the Rosh. And either way, the Ziknei Gilead, however you understand the deal, but Ziknei Gilead, they take the deal, and they say, let's do it. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Vayelech Yiftach Im Ziknei Gilead. So Yiftach goes with the Ziknei Gilead, Vayasimu Ha'am Oso Alehem L'Rosh, Ulekatzin. And the people appoint him now already, and it sounds like, again, and this is where the Mefarshim are getting this from, already it's before the battle. And already the people are electing him as the Rosh, he's now the king. Ulekatzin. And he's also the Katzin. What do you mean he's the Rosh and the Katzin? If he's the Rosh, what does he need to be the Katzin for? Right? Rosh is much more powerful than the Katzin. So the Mefarshim say here that it means that not only did they appoint him as the Rosh, but they did not appoint anyone else as the Katzin either. So it solidified his power. Because he didn't even have a second in command. You know, had they appointed him as the number one, and then appointed an assistant general as number two, or a vice president as number two, so then, okay, they're giving him power, but there's still a vice president. Right? There's still a Sagan, there's still somebody else who has some power as well. Here they're saying, no, you're the Rosh and the Katzin. You're it. There's no number two. Right? You have all the power. Okay, so that's what they did. Vayidaber Yiftach es kol devarav lifnei Hashem ba-mitzvah. And Yiftach speaks all of this out lifnei Hashem ba-mitzvah. Now Rashi says what this means is that Yiftach, again, this whole conversation and the negotiations here were only between the Ziknei Gilead and Yiftach himself. Right? Yiftach wanted everyone to know what the deal was. And therefore, says Rashi, the Yiftach explained the condition. He gathered all of the people of Gilead together, and he explained the condition to them that this was our negotiation, this is the condition, I'm the Rosh, I'm the Katzin, and I'm going to go and fight for you against Ammon. And that's the story. He wanted everyone to know it. And Rashi says, fascinating, what's Lifnei Hashem? Why does it say Lifnei Hashem? So says Rashi, because when you have the majority of the Tzibur together, the Shekhinah is present. Then you have a Kadosh Baruch Hu there. So he gathered the majority of the people of Gilead, not everybody obviously, but he gathered the majority of the people of Gilead together. He explained to them what was going on. That's called Lifnei Hashem, because you have Rov Tzibur. Rov and Tzibur together is called Lifnei Hashem. The Ranak says a few different interpretations of what Lifnei Hashem is, and also Mitzvah. So Mitzvah, he says, Yiftach lived in Mitzvah. That's what the Ranak suggests, that Yiftach lived in Mitzvah. Why Lifnei Hashem? So he says, maybe it's going back on the previous pasuk where the elder said that Hashem Yiyeh Shomea Ben Oseinu, that God is going to be our witness. So that's why Yiftach is saying Lifnei Hashem, because Hashem is the witness to this to these negotiations, to this deal that they made together. Or he says, like Rashi says, that maybe the majority of the Tzibur is present together, so that's also Lifnei Hashem. Or he says that Mitzvah was actually a place, and he says he alluded to this in Sefer Yahushua. The Radak says, I spoke about this in Sefer Yahushua, that Mitzvah was a place where there was a miraculous victory. That was the place where all of the kings gathered together to fight against Yahushua, and Yahushua was victorious, so it was a miraculous victory. Since there was a great miracle and a great Yeshua that happened in Mitzvah, so therefore they dedicated Mitzvah as a makom tefillah. They dedicated Mitzvah as a place where everybody would come together to daven to Hashem. They had a mizbeach there, they would bring karbanos there. So Mitzvah was like a holy place. It became like a shul. No, it was a holy gathering site. So that's why perhaps he says it's Lifnei Hashem ba Mitzvah. The Mitzvah was considered this place that was like Lifnei Hashem. It was a makom tefillah and a makom of karbanos for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, so he goes over the parameters of the deal with everyone. Pasuk Yud Beis, Vayishlach. Now Yiftach has to go about his business, right? He's got to fight against Ammon. That's the deal. So Pasuk Yud Beis, Vayishlach Yiftach Malachim El Melech Bnei Ammon Lemor. So Yiftach sends messengers to the king of Ammon saying the following: Mali Valach, what is this between me and you? Kivasa Elai Lihilachem Be'artzi. You came to me to fight in my land, right? And the Matsudas David says, you see already he's taking charge. Because what's he saying? Maliv Allah. He's not even talking about B'nai Yisrael, so he's talking about himself. You know, me and you. I'm the king and you're the king. Right? So what is this? You're coming to me, you're fighting to me in my land. Says the Malbim, all wars have some sort of a motive. There's some sort of a reason or a motive why one army, why one nation is attacking the other. Says Yiftach to the king of Ammon, what's your motive? What's your reason? Why are you coming to attack? Right? Let's talk about it. Let's negotiate. Maybe we can make peace and not fight. Right? Maybe he's trying to, you know, diplomacy. He's trying first with diplomacy. Pasuk Yud Gimel, Vayomer Melech Bnei Ammon El Malach Yiftach. So the king of Ammon responds to these messengers of Yiftach. Ki lokach Yisrael es artzi. He says, we're upset. I'm angry. Why? Because Bnei Yisrael took my land. They stole my land. Ba'aloso mimitzrayim. When they came out of Mitzrayim, Bnei Yisrael, they stole my land. Me'arnon ve'ad hayabok ve'ad hayardein. From Ammon, from Arnon to the Abok, to the Yardain, he was giving the parameters of his land. Ve'ata hoshiva eshen b'shalom. And he says, now just give me the land back. Give me the land back and everything will be peaceful. Right? I won't attack you. Give me the land back and everything will be okay. So that's his claim. Now the Malbim points out that this is a strange claim. Because if you look in the Torah, it's clear that this land Bnei Yisrael took from Sichon. Not from Ammon, right? From Sichon. Sichon conquered the lands from Moab, right? So Ammon really had no connection to this whatsoever. So the Malbim says that maybe this king of Ammon was at that time also the king of Moab, he suggests, because otherwise it's hard to figure out why the king of Ammon was talking about this land, right? So he says maybe he was also the ruler over Moab. He's angry because Sichon conquered his land. And then Bnei Yisrael took it from Sichon. So he says, Bnei Yisrael, they took my land. Right? Meanwhile, they didn't take it directly from him. They took it from Sichon, which was the next owner, you know, after him, because Sichon had conquered it from him. Pasuk Yidalev. Vayosef od Yiftach, vayishlach malachim, amalach Bnei Ammon. So Yiftach sends messengers back to Bnei Ammon. They have a conversation back and forth. Vayomerlo. And he says to him, Ko amar Yiftach. This is what Yiftach said, which is a strange introduction, right? Ko amar Yiftach. So the Mefarshim point out, the Ralbag points out here that maybe he introduces this, again, this is the second communication. The first communication was the messengers he sent. The king of Ammon, you know, sent back those messengers saying, you know, I want my land back. So now he's sending messengers again. This is the second communication. So the Rabbag says that maybe he wants to flex his muscles a little bit and show that he's really a strong gibor, and that's why he says in the third person, Ko amar Yiftach, right? This is what Yiftach is saying. He's trying to show his strength and his courage and basically communicate to the king of Ammon that you don't want to start up with me, right? You don't want to mess with me, you don't want to start up with me. What does he say? Lo lokach Yisrael es eretz Moav v'es eretz bnei Ammon. He says, we never took your land. Not only do we not take the land of Ammon, we didn't even take the land of Moab. Right? This land did once belong to Moab, but we didn't take it from Moab. We took it from Sichon. Okay? And the Malbim points out here that Yiftach really has four claims that he's responding to the king of Ammon. Number one, we didn't take anything from you, Ammon, or from Moab. We didn't take anything from either one of you. Right? And not only that, but we tried to travel through your lands. If you remember in the Torah, Bnei Yisrael coming out of Mitzrayim, they come to Moab, they come to Edom, they knock on the door, and they say, I'm sorry, can we pass through your lands? And what do they say? No. They didn't let them go through the lands. So they said, not only did we not take your land, we didn't even go through your land. We had to go around. Right? We were forced to go around the land. Pasuk Tezayin, Ki ba'alosa mimitzrayim. When Bnei Yisrael came out of Mitzrayim, Vayelech Yisrael b'Midbar Yamsuf Vayevo Kadesha. Bnei Yisrael came out of they came through the Midbar to Yamsuf. They came to Kadesh. Many of the Mefarshim go through here now all the Pesukim in the Torah, you know, that mirror these this story. Rashi points out Yamsuf is south of Edom. Edom is south of Eretz Yisrael. Right, we're in the southern part here of beneath Eretz Yisrael. Pasuk Yudzayin. Now he's telling him the whole story. He's retelling the whole story. Right? Bnei Yisrael sent messengers to the king of Edom to say, Ebrona ve'artzecha, please allow us to travel through your land. V'lo shama melech Edom. He didn't listen. He didn't let us. V'gam melech Moav shalach. Right? They also sent messengers to the king of Moab. Mefarshim should point out here that if you look in the Pesukim, it's not so clear. It doesn't say anywhere clearly that they in the Torah that they sent messengers to the king of Moab. Edom it says clearly, but not Moab. So they bring, you know, different Pesukim that may allude to this, that the same thing happened with Moab as well. But again, v'lo ava, and the king of Moab also wasn't interested and did not let us travel through their land. V'yeshev Yisrael b'Kadesh, and Yisrael camped in Kadesh. Pasuk Yirches. V'yelech b'midbar. So they traveled through the Midbar b'nei Yisrael. V'yosov es Eretz Edom v'es Eretz Moab. So they didn't even cross through Moab and Edom. They went around Moab and Edom. Right? They went around Moab and Edom. V'yovo m'mizrach shemesh le'eretz Moab. And they came up along the eastern border of Moab. Again, outside of their border. Right? The eastern part of Moab. V'yachanun be'ever Arnon. And they camped across from the Arnon. V'lo bo'u b'gvul Moab. Ki Arnon gvul Moab. This place called Arnon was the border of Moab. They were east of Arnon, which means, says Yiftach to this king of Ammon, that they never went in. They never went into the land of Moab. Pasuk Yudhes, Vayishlach Yisrael Malachim El Sichon Melech HaEmori. And then the next step is that Bnei Yisrael sent messengers to Sichon, who was the king of the Emori, Melech Cheshbon, who he ruled in Cheshbon. Vayomer lo Yisrael Nabrono Ve'artzecha Ad Mikomi. And they said, we're on the way to Eretz Yisrael. Please let us travel through your land. Pasuk Chaf, V'lo ha'amin Sichones Yisrael avor b'gvulo. Sichon did not trust the Jewish people. He didn't trust Bnei Yisrael. He thought they were going to get him. They were out to attack him. He didn't trust them. So therefore, he did not allow them. Not only did he not allow them, but he also fought with them. He went to battle against them. Vayesov Sichones kolamo. Sichon gathers all of his nation. Vayachanu b'yotza, they camp in Yotza, vayilochem im Yisrael, and they fought with Bnei Yisrael. Then, Pasuk Chaf Aleph, vayitein Hashem Elokei Yisrael, es Sichon v'yes kol amo v'yad Yisrael. So now, Sichon comes and attacks Bnei Yisrael. So what does Bnei Yisrael do? They defend themselves. They fight. Now they defend themselves, they fight against Sichon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows Bnei Yisrael to be victorious. They defeat Sichon and his army. Vayakum. Vayirash Yisrael es kol eretz ha'emori yoshev ha'aretz ahi. And therefore they defeated Sichon. By defeating Sichon, Bnei Yisrael now got the eretz of the Emori.
Was that the story of when Moshe killed Og, by hitting him in the ankle? Was that during this time?
I believe so. I think it was around the same time. Sichon and Og were around, I think they were around the same time. Yeah. Okay? So this land, says the Malbim, and this is claim number two, this land Bnei Yisrael did take. But even this land, they didn't just come in and take it for nothing. Sichon attacked them. So once Sichon attacked them, they defended themselves. They defeated Sichon, they took the land. Right? But even this land, it's not like they just came up and just were conquering lands. That's not what happened. Pasuk Chaf Beis, Vayirshu es kol gvul ha'emori, me Arnon ve'ad ha'yavok, umina minbar ve'ad ha'yardin. So they then inherited and conquered this entire land of the Amori, from the Arnon to the Abok, from the Midbar until the Yarden. Now again, this is the land of the Melech Amon is claiming was his land. Pasuk Chaf Gimel, Ve'ata Hashem Elokei Yisrael, Horishes Ha'emori Mipnei Amo Yisrael, Ve'ata Tiroshenu? Question mark. So Yiftach says to the king of Amon that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them this land. And this is claim number three, says the Malbim. This is Hashem's land. So right now, he allowed them to be victorious over Sichon. He let Bnei Yisrael get that land, right? So Hashem basically allowed Bnei Yisrael to get this land. So now the Atoti Roshen, and now you think that you want this land back? You're going to mess with God now? This is God's land. And he gave the land to the Jewish people. You're now going to start messing with God? Is that what you want to do? Pasuk Chaf Dalet, Halo Eis Asher Yorishcha Kemosh Elohecha Oso Sirosh. Listen, you know, king of Ammon, whatever your god, Kemosh was the name of the Ammonite god. So whatever your god, Kemosh, allows you to get, whatever land he allows you to win and to conquer, that's your land. Ve'eskol Asher Horish Hashem Elokeinu Miponenu Osom Yirash. And whatever Hashem allows us to conquer, we're going to conquer. See, he can't come to us with a claim that, hey, that's our land. Your God, right? Meaning he's saying this tongue-in-cheek. Your God allows you to conquer whatever land you're going to conquer. And our God allows us to conquer the land that we're going to conquer. So he helped us conquer the land of Sihon. That's our land. Okay, so he's mocking them. Pasuk Chaf Hey, Ve'ata ha-tov tov ata mi Balak ben Sipor melech Moav. Do you think you're better than Balak ben Sipor, the king of Moav? Harov rov im Yisrael, im nilchom nilcham bom. Was he successful in fighting against Bnei Yisrael? Did he go to battle against them? No, he wasn't successful. Right? So don't try you to be successful. Pasuk Chaf Vav, B'sheves Yisrael b'cheshbon uvivnoseha uva'aru uvivnoseha v'chol ha'arim asher al yidei Arnon. And when Bnei Yisrael settled in Cheshbon and in the surrounding lands, in Aroer, and the surrounding cities, and all of these cities, asher al yidei Arnon, they were right near the Arnon, shalosh me'el shana, they've been living there, the Bnei Yisrael have been living there 300 years. U'madu lo hitzaltim ba'esahi, how come you weren't victorious? Right? You weren't able to get the lands. So bug off, basically. Right? That's what Yiftach is saying. You know, Bnei Yisrael got this land already back in the times of the Torah, before they got into Eretz Yisrael. We're now hundreds of years later. Right? We're already past Yahushua, past all the, you know, all the Shoftim. We're down to Yiftach now, hundreds of years later. Where have you guys been? Right? Where have you been? Pasuk Chaf Zayin. Ve'anochi lo chatasi lach. He says, and I didn't do anything wrong to you, says Yiftach to the king of Ammon. I didn't sin against you. Ve'ata ose iti ra'a lihilachemi. And now you're coming against me to fight against me. Yishbot Hashem ha-shofet hayom. God, who is the ultimate judge, should judge today bein b'nei Yisrael uvein b'nei Ammon, between us and you. Between b'nei Ammon and b'nei Yisrael. And he'll be the one to judge who's really in the right and who's really in the wrong. Now, this is a whole big claim that he made, according to the Malbim, four claims. Velo, Pasuk Chavches, and with this we'll conclude. Velo Shama Melech Bnei Ammon El Divrei Yiftach Asher Shalach Elov. And the king of Ammon did not accept any of this. Right? He didn't buy it, he didn't accept it, he didn't like what he said, and we'll see him here at Hashem next week, that Yiftach says, okay, if not, then we have to go to battle. Right? And we'll see a little bit more next week about the battle and about the interesting oath and vow that he makes before going to battle. Have a wonderful night.